So let's pray. Father, we submit ourselves now to the wisdom of God, not by man's understanding or intellect, but that which the Spirit imparts to us. And so, Father, this morning, we know that the seed is only planted by the hearing of the ear. And, Father, may they hear this morning, because through hearing we plant the seed, and therefore we speak. And so, Father, may they hear this morning, not man's wisdom and understanding, but that which the Holy Spirit gives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning my message is going to be on the issues that will deal with depression. A lot of people don't understand that the church is in a very critical state right now. Mainly because it's amazing how many Christians are depressed. And a lot of them don't understand why. Well, if you follow an understanding of yourself, you'll pretty well find out why you're depressed a lot of the times. And I've found how to pinpoint where depression comes from for a believer. I'm not talking about someone who is not saved. It stands to reason why they would pick up depression. But for a believer, why are believers depressed today? What are some of the signs to take note that brings on depression? What are some of the things that we do that brings on depression? Well, I got an answer for you, mainly because of myself. Yes, my wife, she can tell you I'm a good depressant when I want to be. But eventually you have to learn how to overcome depression. I mean, you either you'll overcome it or it'll take you out. To hear Christians taking their life, how sad. And yet there is an answer for depression in the body of Christ. There is an answer. But a lot of people don't understand how to find it. And so, I'm going to share with you two things that in the past has not only brought depression on me, but I've seen it come on other brothers and sisters as well. And I'm going to tell you something. One thing that God said is that when He comes, He's going to make Him the Lord of our life in the area of peace, shalom. And so how does depression come? Well, are you ready for a real deep revelation? It comes two ways. It comes in the area of fellowship. What are you fellowshipping with? Number one, fellowship. And I'm not going to get complicated about where depression comes from. Depression, number one, starts with what you're fellowshipping with. What you're fellowshipping with. Now, you're either fellowshipping with something or you're not fellowshipping at all. But it comes in the area of what you're fellowshipping with, number one. Number two, what you meditate on. The word meditate is what you place your soul on. The soul is very powerful. It's very unique. It has the ability to adapt to whatever environment you put it into. If you put it into or meditate on wrong things, then guess what? Wrong things will be preeminent. Are you following me? And so you've got what you fellowship with. You fellowship with the wrong people. You fellowship with the wrong crowd. You fellowship with the wrong circumstances or situations in life. It'll bring you depression. But if you fellowship with the right things, the right place, hallelujah. You can be free. You can be free. Now in Colossians chapter 1, I thought it was very interesting. Verses 16 through 18. It talked about how Jesus created everything. And by Him or apart from Him, nothing was created. All things were created by Him and for Him. Amen? That He might have the preeminence in our life. And I'm just being honest with you. Up until about 8 years ago, I never realized how much I was serving God out of my soul rather than my spirit. But when you get into a place of depression, you wake up. Hopefully you wake up or you die on the vine. You got to do one or the other. And I found that, number one, I wasn't fellowshipping with God like I was supposed to be. And number two, I was meditating on the wrong thing. Now, Pastor, what does the removal of depression really have to offer us? Have you ever asked yourself that? If I wasn't depressed, then what would I obtain to get the depression off me? What would I attain to remove the depression? Anybody got any ideas? Oh, yes, money. Well, I just had money. No, money brings more problems. If you don't know how to remove the depression, money ain't going to help you. Money will just bring another kind of depression. Are you following me? Oh, if I just had the right opportunities, if I had the right person to counsel me, if I had the right church to fellowship in, guess what? If you don't learn how to overcome depression, it don't matter where you go, what you look for, what counsel you're seeking. If you're not fellowshipping with God, I guarantee you can go to the right place, you can hear the right message, you can be in the right church or right circumstances, and eventually you'll lose it because it'll come back on you. But if you learn to determine upon yourself, you're going to fellowship with God first and foremost above everything else. Now, you're a guy that's headed for perfect peace. But what is it that removes depression? Are you ready? The thing that will remove depression in your life is a hope or a vision with direction. The thing that removes depression in people's life is when they have direction in their life. If you have direction in your life, you'll find that guy, it's hard to put him into a state of depression. Why? He's headed for a goal. He's headed for an object. He's headed for something that makes sense. His life is not confused anymore. If you want to, real quickly, I want you to jot down some of the telltale signs about how depression comes on, how you can find it in yourself. If these signs are in you, this is a sure understanding that you're headed for depression or you're already there. And you might not even know it. These signs is what I got out of my life. I just had to flat get honest with God. God, why am I depressed? Why am I not happy? Why do I waver in my direction and my convictions? And God told me, He says, you're depressed. I beg your pardon. And He began to show me some telltale signs within myself. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. God didn't design your life to wander around in a desert like some nomad. He said promotion comes from the Lord. Amen. Not from the east, not from the west, not from the south, not from the desert, but promotion comes from God. Hallelujah. And there's nothing that will remove depression quicker than having direction for your life, a hope and a vision, and a direction for you to go in. If you just had that, you're okay. Then you'll work that depression out of you. Now, here's how some of what depression will create in us. Stress. Depression or stress. You want me to give you a meaning of that? It means a state of being stretched under the conditions of the strain of something. A state in which a strong demand is made on the nervous system. Intensity brought on the mind through meditation, a preoccupancy of either circumstances or situations with seemingly no known cure. This word for cares literally comes from the word merimna, a distraction. This comes off of word means that once a distraction takes place in your life, the second thing that it will do is it will disunite or divide you from something so that you can get an section or an allotment of that very division. How many understanding? You see, the more that you get depressed, the more the direction you'll go in depression. And the more that you go in that direction of depression, guess what? The more it will divide you or disunite you with that very thing that you're depressed over, such as marriage, money, whatever it is. And then what happens? You'll end up possessing the results of that. And how many of you know you don't want the results of depression? None of us do. Well, Pastor, how in the world can I keep out of it? Well, look at some of the telltale signs that begin to crop up in your heart. Number one, this is what depression or pressure or stress creates in you. Number one, emotional outbursts where you lose control of your emotions. That's the number one thing that I saw in my life. I was easily emotionally disturbed. Number two, I began to take on unforgiveness about what things happened to me or is presently happening to me. It starts sticking to me. Number three, I've become unteachable. I started getting into a place where people could not teach me. And of course, it brought up number four, criticalness. I became oversensitive to things and people. I was easily offended. I had lack of grace in my life. These are signs of depression coming onto people's lives. If you find these things all in you right now, you're a depressed person. Now's the time to find the answer to get out of it. Thank God I got the answer. Another one is faithlessness. You become faithless. You can't stick to nothing. That's where you pick up a heart of adultery. See, adultery and fornication, one fosters the fornication. Adultery is an issue of the heart. Fornication is the act put into motion. And there are a lot of Christians who are adulterers in the body of Christ, and they don't even know it. What is adultery really referring to? The world says that adultery is sex in married people's lives, where fornication is in non-married people's lives. Well, that's very interesting. Then why does the Bible list fornicating in an adulterous situation with a married couple? Now, how do you separate that? It says, he that has an adulteress, except for fornication, or there's a breaking of the bond there. Well, if that's the case, then why does the Bible lump a married person committing fornication? Because they're not one and the same. One fosters the heart and the other one puts the act to the motion. Now, what is adultery? It's non-committal. It means to be non-committed with a person's oath. Whether it's marriage, whether it's church, whether it's friends, whether it's your job, nothing is committed. You have the option to go any way you want to go. It creates faithlessness, and these kind of people get depressed. Another thing is, we open up to bitterness. We become easily influenceable, especially to those who agree with us. The more I found an agreement in the power of my depression, the more I liked it. Then, the biggie is confusion. I never knew where I belonged. I questioned what I was doing. I questioned where I was at. I questioned where I was going. I mean, everything about my life was nothing but confusion. And of course, that led to double-mindedness. We never get settled in our thinking. We never get settled in our thinking. And so some of these things are going to have to be looked at. They're going to have to be dealt with us and us. Well, then, Pastor, what is your advice? Quit looking for the things that we usually deal with to try to get out of depression. Number one is lying. Number two, we move into excuses. Number three, we believe in quick fixes. Number four, we get into self-vindication. We begin to vent through our emotions. We end up in self-condemnation. We begin meditating constantly on the problem. We're always looking for exterior changes rather than interior changes. We're trusting in other people to bail us out. We're fellowshipping with negative, defeated people with the similar problems that came. They make us feel so good. And we're running from the fear of responsibility. That's what it all boils down to. We literally run from the fear of responsibility. Depressed people don't handle responsibility well at all. What is the matter with me? I don't want you all to leave here saying, man, he really distressed me out. Thanks a lot, Pastor. I feel a lot better after your sermon. I feel more depressed now than when I started. Listen, you've got to get to know Shalom, the God of your peace. Luke 1:79 says, he came to give light to them who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. He's not your God. You know what he's saying? He'll give you direction. Amen. So you'll find peace. Yep. You see, how do I deal with depression? Look for direction. Yep. How do I deal with depression? Look for direction. How do I deal with depression? Look for direction. Yeah. Glory to God. Psalm 29:11 says the Lord will bless his people with peace. Shalom. It means health, security, tranquility, welfare, good conditions, success, comfort, harmonious relationships, and well-balanced mind. That's the God that promises you and I an escape from depression.
Amen.
But you know how it comes? Are you ready? This is a heavy one. It comes only one way. He's got to have the preeminence in your life.
Amen.
He's got to be first place.
Right.
Christians, listen, there are so many Christians who do not put God first place in life, looking for direction, and all they get is more depression. Why? Because he's not the preeminence. You know, some people come in and say, I feel led to go here, and I feel led to go there. That's fine. But if I know God isn't first place in their life, I question their direction. Sometimes direction will take you into a worse condition than what you realize. Isaiah 32:18 says, my people will dwell in a peaceful habitation. Well, if that doesn't belong to us, who does it belong to? Here's another one, shalom. Being bold, feeling secure in a person's self-worth, prosperous in his thinking. I just read you the signs about how you can detect depression in your life, how it comes, and how not to deal with it. But listen, Isaiah 48:18 says, if you had hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace, now notice, been as a river. Do you know what that means, as a river? Are you ready? It means my peace would have no end to its supply.
Amen.
And here it says, if you would have hearkened unto my commandments.
Yep.
Also in Ephesians 2:14 says he is our peace. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, it says, he is not the author of confusion, but of peace. In Colossians chapter 1, it says that he made peace through the blood of his Son. In 1 John 4:18, it says, he that has been brought to perfection is made perfect in love because it casts out all fear. Are you guys getting something here tonight?
Well, yeah, Pastor, but tell me more.
Now, I'm going to give you the key to understanding this, how this depression gets in. Number one, what's your fellowship like with the Lord on a daily basis? You know, we have a world now that is so busy, they don't take time for God. Listen, I'm going to tell you, if you don't take time for God, personally set your time aside, guess what? Your end is inevitable. You've got to, listen, your life, you cannot fit God into your life. You've got to learn to fit your life into God, first of all. And you got to find the time. You got to find the time. It's all right to talk to him all day long. It's all right to talk to him in the car. It's all right to talk to him while you're washing dishes. But I'll tell you what, you need to find the time to set aside where you're not distracted and you open the Word of God up and you begin to pray in the Spirit and you start a communication. My house shall be called a house of prayer. What happened to the prayer closet? That's fellowship.
Yeah.
Now, when you're depressed, you meditate on the problem. You don't meditate on the answer. Well, then, Pastor, where do I turn? First of all, the Bible tells us very clearly where you turn to in order for you to have peace. Where you turn to in order for you to have peace. And here's where you turn to in order for you to have peace. Isaiah 26:3. Write this down. Isaiah 26:3. Meditate this. Get this into your understanding. Meditate on this. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Shalom, shalom, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in you. The word stayed means to lean upon or to take hold of and to stand fast with.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
To stand fast with. Listen, if you're not interested in God, you want God the more to come in and feed you your life, you're in a deceiving relationship. It won't work in marriages, it won't work in counseling, it won't work in the things or the directions that you want to go. Now there's something that I've learned through the Word of God that I hadn't seen before. In Proverbs 20:18, write this down. Proverbs 20:18 says, every purpose is established by counsel. That verse says every purpose is established by counsel. Can anybody disagree with that? Every purpose is established by counsel. Well, then that brings up another issue. If every purpose is established by counsel, then it would become interesting to know what kind of counsel you're getting. You know, the more I tried to look for answers through people, I found that I couldn't find them. I'd just get more confused. I found that when I started running around with God on a daily basis, I got unconfused.
Yep.
So I'm learning now to reach more in on the counsel that God puts in my heart and not what people do. Some of you as believers right now to this very day, you're here possibly because you changed already from some other place because of people. You should be here because the Word of God is here. Not because of a situation or circumstance drove you here or even drove you out of here. Hey, if the Word works for me, it'll work for anybody.
Yep.
I'll guarantee you. You ask my wife. It'll work for me, it'll work for anybody.
True.
Proverbs 21:2 says that every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. Did you know there are some ways that you don't need to go? Why? Because there's something in your heart he's got to deal with, get rid of first. Because the way you're going will destroy you. I found in my life some of the major opportunities in my life. Sue will testify to it. I had three major opportunities come in my life. And I found that that counsel did not come from God. But it was counsel that God was giving me for what to do. And because I was seeking the counsel of men, I found that if I had not taken the counsel, and don't ask me how I ever ended up taking the counsel. I have no idea. I just had an inner witness to just go with God.
Yep.
One is I made a decision to take a job offer my dad offered me 3 days after our little Rebecca was born. He was working on a pipeline up there. And I went up there. My dad's a big wig on the pipeline in Fairbanks. He was in charge of all the warehouses. And by the time I got there, guess what? He couldn't even get me to stock one shelf. All the jobs shut down. And you know what God was dealing with me to do? I want you to go to Eugene. And I'm sitting there and I'm getting more depressed in my dad's house. And I'm struggling to get on this job. And then I made a decision, well, God, maybe you want me to go to Eugene. Maybe you want me to go back home. Sue, remember that when I went there? I was getting depressed. There was a spirit of depression in my dad's apartment. It weighed heavily on my mind. And finally, I just told my dad, I'm out of here. My dad went into orbit. And he says, no, you're not out of here. And guess what? I made a decision to do it. If I hadn't have gone to Eugene, I would have never met Dave Roberson. He was a key part to my spiritual walk. He taught me how to walk after the things of the Spirit. I would have never met him. The day I was leaving, the day before I left, Sue will testify to this, my dad heard, he was on vacation in Kwajalein, he had heard that I was flying out the next day because my brother told him. He called me ranting and raving, and he pulled his authority and got me a job on the inventory crew on a helicopter going up the pipeline. And guess what the inventory crew was all made up of? Prostitutes. But the money, big bucks. And Sue will testify, we needed money. Big bucks. And I said, nah, I'm going to follow through with it. And I went back home. We moved to Eugene, and it seemed like the bottom fell, and it seemed like everything was failing, and all of a sudden, I met Dave, things started to smooth out, I went into ministry, and then all of a sudden, I made a decision to go to Rhema, right when I was in the midst of the greatest ministry success that I knew, and I had to let it all go. I had to let all that money go. Sue will testify, we had two cars. They were paid for the whole year we went there and everything. Things began to open up to go to Raymond. I couldn't figure out why. But everything in the ministry started going downhill because I wasn't obeying the Lord. He just took his blessing off of it.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, when I did get back from Fairbanks, Alaska, I started working part-time for NORAD Advertising out here in Puyallup. And I made the decision. Sue and I set it up. We made the decision. We're moving. We got it all settled up. And he came and he said, Jan, he says, I'm going to give you 50% of my business. No strings attached. I need your youth. I was younger then. Carte blanche. No questions asked. You pay off all your debt. He says, I just want you to work for me. I want you to own 50% of the business. I don't have no children. I don't have no family. I want to give it. It's yours. The next day, I decided to go to Eugene. No promise of a job, nothing. So what did I do? I went back to the counsel of God. I said, God, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to head for Eugene. And that's where we went. Well, when I got to Eugene, God led me to another job, which was not fabulous, but it made good money, good pay. And guess what? The opportunity to go to Rhema came. My ministry was flourishing, and it went down. God took his hand off it, didn't bless it no more, and I was on my way to Rhema. Through the process of dragging a prophet out of one of my services by the heels, and says, false prophet. Prophesying, I go, until I obey God, I'm going through the desert for 5 years. And I went through the desert for 5 years to the day. I drug that guy out. Boy, we can be perverted in where we're going. But I succeeded. And finally, one day it's going to dawn on you. The Bible says in Proverbs 25, the counsel in the heart of man is like deep waters, but a man of understanding will begin to draw it out. I begin to see that the way that I'm going to draw counsel in my heart out properly is that I've got to have God as a preeminence in my life. He's got to have the first place. Well, if that's the case, then what does it mean? The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Now, what is he talking about? I'm going to tell you the key. The key that will get you to understand. Every one of you in this congregation today, every single one of you, you know that within your own heart you have many directions to go. Many directions to go. But there's only one way that God wants you to go. So you have many directions to go. And this is why God used the term water. I'm going to give you the succeed, the key to getting back out of depression and on course with God. Here it is. Water is one of the most unstable elements that you'll find on the face of the earth. When you pour it out on the globe, it will go where it wants to go. But it says here that if you are a king in God and you give your life to Him, then that which seemingly can go into any direction will not go into any direction. God will put a trough to it and He'll give it direction. Glory to God. Are you guys getting something here? You see, that is the key to remove all depression from your life. Put God first place, fellowship with Him, and meditate on His Word, and He will direct your water course, your life.
Amen. Yeah.
That can be poured out in many directions. But oh, the water that is so adaptable to easy flow, let God channel it where it's supposed to go.
Amen.
And you'll be happy. Did you get something here today?
Amen.
Did you get something?
Yes.
See, that's the key to success in life. Put Him first. Let Him have the preeminence in your life. And you'll get out of depression. You'll see some things turn around in your heart and your life that you've never seen before. Praise God. Those of you who are watching by TV, read them scriptures, man. Meditate on them. And you'll have hope anchor in your soul that cannot be removed. You'll know what direction to go in. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How do I get direction? Him first.
That's right.
Stand up, everybody. Praise God. I think I preach myself happy. You know, sometimes when we go through life, you know, seemingly no answers come for direction. How many of you have been buffeted by that? You know what I've learned to do? Stand still. Just stay in that one place until you know that you've got the answer for that next step. And when you get that next step, the answer to that next step, then you'll take it with confidence. You know, we're going to pray for a lot of you here this morning. How many of you struggle fellowshipping with God? Come on, let's be honest. I had a pastor friend of mine call me. And he said things out of his spirit. I was praying the day that he would do it. And he said, you know, he says, I've come to the conclusion I'm not every other minister. I'm me. And he says, I've found a place that I'm so happy with. I can say the same thing that you said to us, Jan. And I said, what's that? You'll never get out of the presence of God again. Yes. Amen. He finally got it. I said, so what you're talking about there is prayer. He says, yes, I'm fellowshipping with God. He said, your words kept coming back and haunting me. I don't know what it did to the other ministers in the past, but he said, your words kept coming back and haunting me. And I said, good. The word, there's an anointing on the word. If you preach the will of God to people, that will of God will haunt their minds till they do it. And that is to fellowship with God. When you run around in your fellowship with Him, you'll know what to meditate on. Because He is not a depressing person to run around with. He removes the spirit of heaviness. And He puts on you the garment of praise. Glory to God. I don't know how many times I went in my prayer closet. I was depressed. I was down. And I, and man, the garment of praise would hit me. And next thing I do, and I'm flipping out. And I forgot my problem. And I'm praising Him. Just like David said, when I praise the Lord, when I rejoice in Him, my enemies fall back and stumble. Yeah. Glory to God. It ain't the right church. It ain't the right circumstance. It's the right fellowship with the right God. Hallelujah. Whew. He'll cause you to meditate on whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of strength and virtue, and of a good report. Think on these things. Depression comes through reasonings. If you wasn't here the last two Wednesday nights, you need to... Well, one of the tapes didn't take. Just like the devil. Get last Wednesday's tape. Listen to it. I talked about how strongholds are made up of reasonings. You see, a Christian that says, I'm going to get my whatever it is, doesn't have it yet. Because that's the voice of reasoning. I've learned with my Lord and my Savior, when He speaks to me, He speaks to me something that I've already possessed. Reasoning keeps you out of the realm of possession. Whatever you want in God, you got to say, I have it now. And then you shall have it. Get that tape. That helps you to get out of depression. I know the voice of unbelief now. I know it in me, first and foremost. Amen? Whew. My wife will agree with me. Some of the things that come out of my mouth, I can't live with. Right, Sue? Good answer. She said, yeah, neither can I. I can read her mind. I've been with her long enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I want to pray for some of you this morning. Listen to me. This is the area I want to pray. Ask the Lord to strengthen you in that area of fellowship. That is so important. You know, fellowship, praying. You know something? There are people that live in a utopia. They think prayer is so grandiose and glorious. It is for the inner man. But it's hell on flesh. You know, if I could cut my flesh away every time I go in my prayer closet, I'd be bouncing in there. Sometimes I have to drag that dead body in there with me. You just got to learn that fellowship is going to pay a price. You're going to have to sacrifice your physical being. That's all there is to it. You're going to have to sacrifice your emotions and your physical being for fellowshipping with Him. Boy, the dividends and the payday is so great. Ooh. I have direction now like I've never had it. Patience and temperance. Father, as we make a decision to pray for your wonderful, beautiful people today. Father, I pray that they determine within themselves they're not going to be depressed. They're going to have the right fellowship. They're going to meditate on the right things. And in that, they will have direction for their life. Father, there's nothing like having direction for our lives. It is the key to remove depression from us. Father, today may your people take to heart what I've shared with them. Father, if it has helped me so much to know the Shalom, the God of my peace, then let them know what Isaiah said. He that will continually keep his mind on thee will remain in that perfect state of peace because they learn how to rely on you and learn how to put their whole life in a leniency on you. Oh, Father, if your people would just get a hold of this, that whatever state they find themselves in, they have an avenue, they have a direction that they can come out. They can see the light at the end of the tunnel. They can have a hope they never had for their faith to work. No, Father, your people are so wonderful. You love them so much. You have so much to offer them. They just need to be delivered from the natural hope and to look beyond that and to trust and rely upon your promises and not rely upon their own mistakes. But chop those mistakes off and look to you. You know, I don't feel like giving an altar call for this. I think every one of us need that in this church building right here. There isn't a one of us that couldn't say, "Well, he's preeminence in my life." Oh yeah, after your last depression, every one of us need to trust on him. You know, anymore since I get so close to him, anymore even people's mistakes don't bother me as much. Why? Because I know that God, if you just get him into fellowship with God, God will work those mistakes out. Yes. Amen. You just see it. You just know it. You don't know how to tell him, but hey, there is hope in you. Hey, you just don't understand my circumstances. Hey, God is the God of the greatest circumstances on the face of the earth. God is the God of hope. Why would he tell us if there be any virtue, if there be any strength, think on these? Why would he tell us that? Well, because that's where you find him. I've been there. I've been there when all I had was just his promise and that was it. And nothing else. And when I got to that place, all I did is when God gave me an answer, I just broke out in laughter. It was the most stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. And I just sat there and laughed. Well, God, why would you tell? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you. What do you think I've been in? Oh, I understand that statement now more than ever. I'll tell you, God knows how. He's the one that put this planet on in the universe. He's the one that put us on it. I mean, if all things were created by him and for him, it seemed like we'd give him the preeminence. I'll never forget when I went back into my prayer closet. I couldn't get a word out of him, and I said, "God, now you've got to talk to me now. I want to know I want to know what you got for me right now." He said, "Hello." Hello? I didn't go anywhere. Oh, really? This is what I want us to. I want you to confess this with me, okay? If it sounds like a negative one, you confess it with me anyway. Let's get humble. Let's get right where God is. He's in humility. Are you ready? Dear Heavenly Father, you are the God and the only one that exists. All other gods only exist in the mind of men. But you are the God. And you're my Father. You're the God for humanity. But you're my Father. I had an earthly father. But now I have a heavenly Father. Father, correct me. Lead me. Guide me. as only a father would do. You're my father, and you're a good guide. You're the one that leads me from depression to a garment of praise. I look forward to you today, Father. That time with you alone. Speak to my heart. Reveal the wickedness inside me. Deliver me from it so that I go in the way of peace. I acknowledge you are Shalom, the Father of Peace. I seize upon that. I lean upon that. And I trust upon that. Now, Father, as you search my heart and deliver me from the ways that I could possibly go that would be error, preserve me from that. Help strengthen me, Father, for some of them roots go deep in me. Take me to that place where I let them go for perfect guidance and perfect peace. Amen. 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 Do you believe what you just said? You believe? I believe it. I believe it. Glory. I got excited. The Lord spoke to me to go and pray for my wife's foot. She was hurting her again. I just got so upset at that. And I went in there. I laid hands on her. I felt the presence. She woke up this morning and said her foot was perfectly healed. You know what that does? That gives me such joy because it was my wife. Foot's fine, isn't it, honey? I'll tell you, you know, God is so good, people. I just don't know how to explain it. I can say, truthfully and honestly, I have the Spirit of God in my life. I can truthfully and honestly say that I am full of the Holy Spirit every day. I can honestly say that. It's not a wishful thinking, but I'm full daily. You know, it says, be ye filled daily. That's talking about the Holy Ghost. Be ye filled daily. When I was working on my roof yesterday, I got so happy over the Lord just meditating on Him. I don't know whether Sue heard me or not. I went to dancing a jig right on them shingles. Because I was just meditating on God. And He just began to impart some good things that I've been seeking some answers for. What a joy. What a joy. What a Father. Oh, that fellowship. Oh, can't tell you enough, people, what it means to communicate with your Lord daily. Oh. You can be in the midst of all hell breaking loose and stand there smelling a rose. That's how much peace.